And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Unafeared, 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 here in Declare Your Independence. I'm here in the Hancock here in Phoenix, Arizona. Yeah, we're calling Frank right now. Frank, we got you?
I'm here.
Frank, he's there. Yay. Okay. Now, you wanted me to play Captain Marvel's trailer. You want the first official one, the second one, or do we care?
Yeah, just do the first one.
All right. Now, this is now, Dr. Frank, we're going to talk about a lot of fun stuff here. And SJW's in and the tomato meter. We talked about that a little bit yesterday and what they did and how, and Disney controls and rules everything. And this is part of it. It's 2 minutes. So you get to see Captain Marvel. And it's going to be why are we doing this?
Well, because there is obviously a culture war. Just the last week or so alone, we've seen an attack from all sides regarding with Tommy Robinson being taken off with Facebook. You got Don Trump Jr. being nailed. You have the Joe Rogan issue with Alex Jones being coming out. You have this movie and Disney exercising its huge force, which we'll talk about, because it turns out Disney owns Comcast. Comcast owns Fandango. The president of Fandango is named Paul Yanover, who was put into a new position as president of Fandango just a few years ago. And guess what? Paul Yanover is a Disney executive they put straight in, and Fandango owns Rotten Tomatoes. And so they
Wait. Give me the line here. Disney to Rotten Tomatoes. Give me the line.
Disney owns Comcast,
okay.
And Comcast a few years ago in 2012 bought Fandango,
okay.
And when they bought it, Fandango, you know, it's that ticket service and all, and Fandango, they created a new position, the new president of Fandango, and they stuck right in there their own executive called Paul Yanover. You can check him out as his trailer's playing, and Paul Yanover's Disney, and of course, Fandango already owned Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay,
and
Disney.
So that's the link.
Fandango. No, Comcast was in between there, right?
Yep.
Like Disney, yep. Comcast, Fandango, tomato meter.
And then when the fans turned around and said, "We're tired of this SJW crap, and you keep pushing it," and they had a little audience score deal, which I guess we'll get more into this later, after the trailer. But the point is that people were saying we just are not interested in it. The very function it was designed for, but it turns out it was really designed for them, for their own marketing purposes, not really for the fans.
No!
When the fans didn't answer the way that they wanted, right, they turned around and they erased it on Sunday night, dead of night, which has tanked not just this movie further, but the entire integrity of Rotten Tomatoes and the way that they were manipulating people. And the worst part about it, and I'll explain a little bit later what they did, but they turn around and try to explain to everybody why they did it, and they lied about that. And the reason they lie, they're able to lie, is because they own indirectly all of the newspapers and all the movie critics in the newspapers. Why? Because the only way you have access to their movies, which they own everything, every blockbuster, if you don't say nice things about Disney movies, then you don't get advanced passes. And if you can't do an advanced review in today's cyber world, you're worthless if you don't get that review out in the first 12 hours. So therefore, you're worthless and have no job if you don't have access to Disney movies. So every newspaper out there lied about why Rotten Tomatoes took it down. And we'll talk about why that is. So this whole thing, this is so much larger than a stinking movie. But they have everything is resting on this Captain Marvel, which for you geeks out there know, it is the capstone, the movie, 1 month before the end. Literally, it's called Endgame. It is the last Avengers movie of this entire series. 10 years, multiple billions and billions of dollars, all of this riding on this Avengers Endgame movie, and Captain Marvel is supposedly the cherry on top of this whole thing. This whole thing ended with feminism, SJW, with this little brat, Brie Larson, who got $5 million, $5 million, the first of highest paid ever in the Marvel Universe, starting out with her role, more than Robert Downey Jr. Jr. only got $500,000 when he did Iron Man. This person gets $5 million because they want to show how much they care about the feminists and all this kind of thing. This SJW, they give her all this money. She rams her mouth off, and they didn't do anything about it. Roseanne Barr says one little thing. They cancel the whole damn show. You know, the whole thing. They rip her from existence down the memory hole. But Brie Larson is like their feminist agenda. Not mentioned, not just her as an actress, but the character Captain Marvel, nobody cares about. The comic book has been erased, has been canceled 8 times in the last few years. Nobody will buy it, but they keep putting it out there. They're trying to force people to like this character.
Okay,
because they don't
these
have
are some
a
of the things.
Well,
we're going to run out.
We're out of time.
We're out of time.
Okay.
We'll come back with it. But this is the thing. Okay,
this is huge.
When you sent me the text and you go, man, you got to watch this, all the stuff that you've been talking about, you know, the social and economic engineering and how they're using media and they, them, those control the minds of and all that kind of stuff. This was a neon flashing example of it. You know, here you go. Well, then you find out, of course, they're linked financially. I think, you know, Disney has a lot of weight with the, you know, entertainment industry and tomato meter. No, they own it. Okay, that helps. Now, the one thing that I was very happy about Marvel was that in the Marvel Universe, certainly with Stan Lee was alive, you have, there's a little bit of, you know, we're going to rule the people from, and that Tony Stark kind of gets in with, you know, the government and the United Nations and stuff. But Captain America is nope, individual in our own hands. Better. He's saying all that libertarian stuff. You watch Winter Soldier, you're going, damn, man, I can get behind that pace. Well, at the same time, Disney has Star Wars that they just totally bitched up, you know, and I'm going, yeah, how come they didn't do Marvel? Well, they're setting it up because it's going to the end where here the woman comes to save the day. And I'm going, all right, fine, I don't care. But it's all built up to this. You can see in this Captain Marvel thing, and then we go to Endgame, I'm wondering how they're going to play this. I have no idea, but it's definitely having an impact, and they're being outed for it. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I see the potential for this, and the fans are backlashing. And it's not just, it's just moviegoers. People, tens and tens of thousands of people, and all it was is said, do you plan on seeing this movie? 27% said, yeah. So that means 73% didn't plan. They went, hell no, we got to get that metric off the screen. So that's why they changed this, because the people were voting with their little clicks, and they didn't like it none too much. So now I'm looking at, are they taking all of this Hollywood, and you had, what's her name, was it Kennedy or something, that she was running the Star Wars?
Kathleen Kennedy.
Yeah. You know, all this is going on behind the scenes, and it's all what always happens. It's programming. That's why they call it television programming. This programming is coming up to, they lost the Hillary thing. They already had this planned out a long time ago. So now they're trying to get your mind right and coming back in or something. This is just evidence of it, which the people, the fans online saw right through this. And when they did it, it exploded. I started watching a video, and it goes to the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one. Everything that Frank's been saying, that this was coming, because he pays attention. Because where is it? General public opinion. It's just, where can they get the minds of Generation Next and people, and they can start manipulating and doing and, you know, whatever. Well, here it is. So when we come back, I'm going to go ahead and we'll come back with the trailer for this. And I know I kind of whatever and don't care, but Frank will pick it apart. I guarantee it. and we're going to have some fun today. Dr. Frank Tamburi, we're not doing the Trump report. I'll probably get into it a little bit, but we're working on this.
From the second letter of Captain Mark. Any pirate knows that commerce is communication. Markets condense oceans of information into a single price. Innovations in communication are circumventing the scrutiny of the crown. This signals a change in the coin of the realm. The crown uses digital currency to surveil, censor, seize, and destroy wealth at will, so pirate currency must protect us from this weaponized money. We need to move funds further, faster, cheaper, and without third-party observation, basing decisions on an accelerating flow of information. So pirates require nearly instantaneous transactions with no arbitrary limits on volume or artificial influences on fees. Most importantly, a pirate currency must preclude centralization. Otherwise, it will become another link in our chain to the crown. A superior currency will result in the obsolescence of the coin of the realm and the extinction of the crown itself. Trade above the grid. Join us at PiratesWithoutBorders.com.
Millions of Americans are
Okay, that get us going, and then the first one, they have a second one, trailer, but it's all same crap, you know.
The first trailer is the best because it was the first impression. Also, everyone took it apart because Brie Larson does not smile in the entire thing. And when people said, "How come this actress can't smile? She's like a plank of wood," then she flipped out and got all upset and said, "Well, I think it's sexist that you expect women to smile." And that exploded the internet as well. And then they tried putting in the second trailer her smirking once or twice to try to show that she could smile, and she still can't. I mean, she's like this angry little brat who sits there, and you know, she comes in and she'll cross
her
arms.
Hey, man, she did what they told her to do. She goes, "I'm an actress. They paid me $5 million to not smile. I'm gonna smile." Damn it.
Exactly.
Okay. Tim Pachote said he was talking about the Alex Jones things and also about the Cohn hearing, which, and I don't care. So maybe we'll get into something like that. Okay, wait a minute. Hey, Donna, do you know Joby and Stephanie are in Phoenix? Well, contact them. You know, get your ass over here. Get your ass over here. Boom. So go ahead and contact them now, will you please? I just sent them a text. Then let's see who else is contacting here. All right, got him. All right. Now, the Alex Jones thing on Rogan, did you watch that at all?
Just part of it. It went on for like 6 hours or something. It was crazy.
It was 4 hours and something. I just finished it this morning. I watched the whole thing. It was entrancing.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw some of it. I didn't see the whole thing. I was about an hour, 45 minutes. I got to hear. I missed the beginning, though. The beginning, I really wanted to watch. I'm sure that's when he goes nuts in the beginning. All of his pent up.
He was nuts the whole time, you know. But, you know, it's relative nuts. I mean, you know, how nut can you be nut?
Yeah, but the one I wanted to chat about after the next segment, though, is just the media is coming down like hard all at one time. Alex Jones is like the canary in the cage on the coal mine.
Exactly.
And yet all of these others are happening as predicted between the movies being censored, Tommy Robinson just getting thrown off Facebook just the other day when his documentary coming out and outing the BBC and Panorama. All of this, I'm telling you, and then Laura Logan comes out. And she's, of course, on the CBS 60 Minutes.
All right, we're coming back. We'll get into all that stuff.
LRN.FM into more ears. Visit promote.lrn.fm for a free bumper sticker, flyers, banners, graphics, and more. Promote.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
All right, this is the first trailer for Captain Marvel.
The movie nobody's gonna watch.
We'll see.
Well, I think everyone should get their fill now. So this is about the most I'll be watching.
Alright, she falls and crashes into Blockbuster Video. So this is the prequel.
I'm a renegade soldier when I see one. Never occurred to me that one might come from above.
Space Invasion, Big Car Chase. Truth be told, I was ready to hang it up till I met you today.
So this is Nick Fury with both eyes.
So you're not from around here?
It's hard to explain. I keep having these memories. I see flashes. I think I had a life here. But I can't tell if it's real.
We have no idea what threats are out there.
Kick the crap out of aliens.
We need you.
I'm not what you think I am.
Captain Marvel. Okay. So what's so great about this first trailer? I don't get anything out. I don't care. Why do we care?
Let me just put a little context to it. And guys, this is about the culture war. This is not some kind of geek fest, although I can easily go down that road. So just bear with me for a second. So a little background to understand what is, there's different factors going on with this movie, setting it up. So first off, you're right. It is a prequel. It takes place in 1990. And this movie is really, it's interesting, putting all the politics aside. They set it up as the movie right before the last movie. So if you think about it, it's like you're watching the prequel that led to everything a month before you see the last movie that ends everything. And so in this movie, they have like a de-aged Samuel Jackson. And of course, the character that was killed off in Avengers 1 is alive because it's a prequel. You're right, Sam Jackson has both eyes. So in this movie, for instance, you're going to find out, and I'm not giving any spoilers for any of you guys that really are going to see the stupid thing, but you know, everyone kind of knows somehow Sam Jackson is going to lose an eye for some example. We have no idea why. And it's going to be the setup. And keep in mind, Sam Jackson, when you see him in the first Avengers, I'm sorry, in the first Iron Man, when he shows up to Tony Stark in the first one, and we realize we had a shared universe coming as fans, he already knew that big forces are out there. He knew that we needed superpowered people to come together, and he somehow knew. And the funny thing is, you never find out. How did he know this? How did he start designing the Avengers Initiative? He did it for a reason. It's because he got a heads up that these bigger forces were out there, and it turns out he learned it from Captain Marvel.
Okay, now this
Brie
is
Larson.
Now this is from the comic books.
This is not the comic. This is Marvel's reinterpretation of it. So that's what they're doing.
Let's go back a little bit and what the original story was, because I remember when we were doing the show, I did this. There was a multi-series on Captain Marvel when he was a guy, you know, and there was something Shazam Marvel.
Okay. All right, guys, this is way too... First off, there are great videos on YouTube. For those of you who really want to... You can talk about the different types of... What's the deal with Captain Marvel? It's confusing. So let me just give you I'm not going to get much into it, but Captain Marvel originally was DC, or actually a company before DC, and eventually he became Shazam. So when you guys... A lot of us grew up with that show, the TV show, Shazam, and he was known as Captain Marvel. But then later on, Marvel Comics got their version of it, and I forget the rights issue, because clearly Captain Marvel, by the way, it's technically Marvel, so it's not as cheesy as Marvel, but Stan Lee, obviously, they have someone that's superpowered and has the name Marvel in it. The thing is, it was never that popular. Captain Marvel is actually a man in the Marvel comics as well. By the way, Captain Marvel is an alien and then gives the power to the female Captain Marvel, right? The kicker is, in this movie, they changed it to Annette Bening because they basically, Brie Larson said herself in so many words, which was that a true feminist would not get or bequeath her powers from a man, right? So in other words, they don't want to be dictated and have a man give a woman powers. She's going to get it herself from another woman. So just these kind of things that they pulled off. Anyway, they created this woman, and in the 1980s, Captain Marvel was a black female. they made her a black female who actually, a lot of the geeks remember her. She had this giant afro and really a cool character. I mean, if you want to do Captain Marvel right, do the black female character, you know. But in any case,
okay, now when was the black female character Captain Marvel? When that
back in the 1980s, but just put in black Captain Marvel and you'll black female Captain Marvel, you'll see her come up. I forget the name in the comics that her alias. Anyway, then they started to reboot her about 10, 12 years ago with the character Carol Danvers. And they created this character that, honestly, even as a geek, I don't follow. Nobody follows this new Captain Marvel. She's a manifestation of the feminists who took over Marvel. And I've told you a million times on the show that they were on Marvel Comics and DC, especially Marvel, were under attack big time. They were run over by, taken over, infested with these SJWs about a decade ago, and nobody took notice. Unfortunately, they've changed the subculture for our kids. At least that was the idea. And I told you, they made Spider-Man black, which there's nothing wrong with making a character black. Just make a different character. You know, but they made Spider-Man black, Thor a woman, Iceman is gay, you know, Ghost Rider is Mexican, you know, the Hulk is Korean. And no, guys, I'm not making this up. That's what they did. They did all this within a year or so, right? And they made, I forget the other ones, you know, Captain America is something different now. Oh, and Iron Man is a Muslim girl. A Muslim girl, I think, took the Iron Man suit.
What? So, in what? Yeah, yeah. In a comic?
And yeah, in the comic.
So they're building up in the future, and 20 years
That's
from now
it'll
be totally
doing.
Different.
Exactly. The Marvel movies are reflecting, you know, the people who can pay the tickets are old people like me, and we're going to see them a bunch of times, unlike the little kids. So they started off making the Marvel movies the movies that we want. Keep in mind, when Iron Man and this was planned, Disney had not bought them yet. Disney was about to bought Marvel after Iron Man and the Hulk were already out. Then they bought it. So the plan was already to use the old characters because we know those old characters, but they're already planting the seeds of SJW, you know, all this crap, and they put it into the comics, assuming that all the kids are going to be buying feminist comic books, and they're not. So the comic book industry is tanking. Matter of fact, the comic book stores are going
out
of business.
Do they care?
But that's, you know, Ernie, this is the larger issue, and I hate, it pains me to
say
it.
Well, you know,
I
remember
right.
When you had shareholders going into Disney shareholder meetings of whatever.
Yeah, we played that.
Yeah, and I remember us doing this. It was a couple of years ago. They were yelling at Eisner. Was it Eisner then or something?
Yeah, it was Eisner.
They're going, hey, you guys don't give a crap about us.
I'm sorry, it's Bob Iger. He's the
Iger.
President.
So he's going, you don't give a crap about us. You're at some agenda that has nothing to do with making money. You're on some kind of other kick of what the hell is going on. This is what was going on. Tim just sent us this. I got to show you this. Audience, Project Veritas, they got a video. Facebook insider leaks docs, explains deboosting, troll report, and political targeting in video interview. Yeah, Tim said, he goes, oh, you know, yeah, definitely, you know, Frank be all over this one. So this is insider formerly responsible for content review in Facebook's intellectual property department speaks out, loses job. Facebook engineers plan to demote bad content. Conservative Facebook page live stream secretly deboosted. No notice to page owners. Facebook can classify users as trolls based on their vocabulary, then punish by limiting bandwidth, blocking comments. Facebook engineer, hateful content is coming from right-leaning sites. Special features triggered leading up to important elections. Bizarre view of hate speech includes content from conservative commentator. What they're going on about in here is that they were influencing elections and all that. They didn't need Russians, you know? So it's, let's see, Facebook that talked about how they banned conservative live feeds, influence elections, and try to stop conservative memes. So this is like, duh. You know, this is all part of everything that you're talking about, and it's made it to comic books. And the comic books are the, because they don't got a brain in their head, they have to, you know, go to comic books as the source material for them creating new characters or media.
Yeah, but it's,
and
it's,
make
it's not just
movies.
Comic books. Dude, it's not just, it's everything we've been talking about. The takeover of Star Trek, Star Wars, Doctor Who, Harry Potter. Every single one of these, the Marvel Comics, they've been taken over by
the SJWs. It's an invasion!
they've been, no, it is, it, all around the last few years, and people don't notice because, you know, it's not an adult issue that you think it's for the kids, but the older geeks, the people who don't want to get involved in politics, are getting sucked into it because they realize that the these changes are being forced on them in different ways, that's happening at the same time, and what's killing them at first is that they're hiring people who don't understand the properties. They're hiring not the biggest Star Trek geek who's like 400 pounds and has read every Star Trek novel and has and memorized every episode. They're not hiring that person.
No.
They're hiring just some Joe Schmo with a feminist studies degree to come in and say, well, as long as we got Spock ears and laser guns, we'll slap the title Star Trek, but then we can use it to put in our like SJW agenda. And people have spent 40 years with these franchises are going like, who's running these things? And it's happening all at the same time. It's insane. And then when the fans rebel and say, wait, this is not my Star Trek, this is not my Star Wars, this is not whatever, then the media that's owned by these conglomerates comes back and says that all you people are trolls, you're sexist, you're racist, you're bigoted. And so now they're lashing out the very fans instead of listening to them. So the fans are pushing back and the media is pushing back harder. And it finally erupted with that Rotten Tomatoes deal. So that's really, this is all coming. It is an end game.
You know, what has happened is they get desperate and they do the jump the shark thing. And you have these people that they may not have believed it, or they were in support of it, or they were defending it, and something like this happens, and they go, damn, you know, there's no way to get away from this. And you could have as many, you know, troll robot, whatever the hell you want, and you can't get away from the truth of what's really going on. And just the acknowledgement of that, but it doesn't mean it's not going to have an impact. To them, they're going to have an impact. They got your database. They got your search history. They got. And I'm going, yeah, but they don't have the next half of the planet. When there's in the first hour, we had this permanence IPFS thing. And so I could see it's going to be competition between these things. And the gentleman that I had on, he said, yeah, in Turkey, they tried to shut down Wikipedia, you know, in Turkey. They have a bunch of actors. They just put it on IPFS. And they couldn't stop it anymore. So I'm going, this is what's happening. That's why I'm such a big deal in this IPFS, because if they can, they are. And they can, we need to be where they can't. And that's what, you know, we're emphasizing this. You know, we're back. Here we go.
Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah. We're yakking still and whatever, and get on the stream so you don't miss anything. Okay. Now, Tempachode says, you know, there's a video in there, and I got, you know, here I show you, there's the video, and you can go watch the Project Veritas and the Facebook Insider. But this isn't going to tell us anything we don't already know. I get it, you know, and Tim and Frank definitely always talking about this, and Frank has been freaking on caffeine and freaking meth or whatever about this thing forever, you know, telling us about. So, and he goes, he said here, anyone who posts a term SJW or MSM, mainstream media, will be flagged as being a right-wing troll. They give you a troll categorization, and I tell you what's going to happen. It's going to be Facebook is just going to be grandma and, you know, whatever the hell they want you to have. You know, it's going to be pictures and, you know, all the surveillance of, they know everybody and all your friends and favorite books and stuff like MySpace. So I see what's coming, and there's going to be alternatives, but there's a battle on for your mind. And
you know, it's interesting. You know, it pains me to say it, but I think you were right about something, Ernie. Actually, after all this, which was I know, hallelujah. And what I mean by that is when I was talking about, every few weeks I'd come in, I'd talk about the Star Trek thing, or I'd talk about a different one. And I could see this thing brewing, and each of these channels, at first, they were not talking about the others. In other words, the Star Wars people were just talking about Star Wars, how much they didn't like what was going on. And the Doctor Who people would be bitching on their thing. And I'm watching all of them. I'm going, guys, you guys are not seeing the larger picture. Not to mention, it was a culture war that was the political thing. And a lot of this was happening right before the election. And then the election just, of course, put gasoline on this whole thing. And that was when Ghostbusters, the female Ghostbusters, came out. That was the shot heard around the geek world, was that feminist Ghostbusters. Even Donald Trump tweeted about it. Like, oh, boy. And so this this thing is a true culture war. And what you had said was that it's a real war for them, which means it's a casualty, and they don't mind losing and destroying these properties. And it took me a while to see that myself, because I couldn't imagine that they would buy for $4.2 billion Star Wars and run it into the ground, which they are. And Marvel also, Disney owns Star Wars and Marvel, and they're about to do the same thing. I don't want to get too much into the Captain Marvel thing further, but keep in mind, guys, they are setting up this movie, this Endgame, where many of the characters die, like the legacy characters, and I don't know who does. I'm not trying to spoil anything, but, you know, look, a lot of the actors, their contracts are up. They've been working for Marvel for 10 years, so probably some of the big ones, you know, Thor, Captain America, I don't know who, but I'm sure a couple of them die, who knows. But if they do, probably, and I'm not trying to spoil, I really don't know, but there's a good chance that Iron Man may die. I mean, I don't know, or maybe he'll go in retirement, who knows. But they need somebody new to take the place. And so Captain Marvel is being groomed to be the next Iron Man, to lead the Avengers in the next 10 years of movies. That is what's riding on this thing. They have taken the White Knight and the sword for the Captain Marvel comics no one will buy the comics. Nobody wants this character. They're forcing this SJW person on everybody. And it's like they're running it into the ground. So the question is, along with the comic books and everything, can they not see that they're ruining it, or do they not care? And therefore, this runs into what conservatives don't quite get yet, is how lethal the left has become. To them, this is a culture war, and they know it's a war, and they use language of battle when they talk about what's going on. And so I think conservatives are starting to figure out that being nice all the time, like my mom always says, why does Donald Trump have to be so meany, you know, meany on Twitter and all? And I try to explain, because he understands that this is a war, it's a culture war, and to the depths that they will go to lie and twist things, and he's exposing it. And now in the last few weeks, with this concerted effort from all sides, it seems, from like 60 Minutes the BBC and Rotten Tomatoes. I mean, all of this, within the last couple weeks, it's like when it happens, it starts to happen quick. And you're seeing the resistance come up. You know, you see what's going on with Jordan Peterson coming up with his own version. You know, they're talking about their own chat site, their own YouTube channel. And now you have all the fans deciding right now, they're pulling money as we speak, to create their own Rotten Tomatoes. They're basically, Rotten Tomatoes is dead now. It's dead. It's lost all credibility. Where can we go where people can discuss movies and aggregate, you know, reviews without the SJW and without people being censored?
Let me
so
ask this.
This is a discussion everywhere.
You know, let me ask you this. There is the industry is, you know, they're up against home theaters. I mean, you know, I know you get all pissed off that I get to watch Star Trek Discovery without paying them, you know, in my secret whatever the hell way. So I'm just going, you know, and I don't dislike it as much as you do, and you haven't even seen it. But it's not Star Trek. You know, this, it may say Star Trek on it, doesn't give you the same feel, doesn't give the same vibe. They use all the same, you know, crap. And it just doesn't feel Star Trek-y. So they have taken this and they've gone a different, God knows where the hell they're going. But, you know, it's kind of interesting. It's better than a lot of other sci-fi and so on. But it's not Star Trek. And I can see the same thing is going to happen with Marvel. It's, you know, it's going to be Marvel, and they'll have the logos and the same characters and overlap or whatever. But it's not really, you know, Avenger Marvel. So I can see this, but we saw this happening long time ago with all kinds of stuff, you know, the media coming in and taking it. I tell you where our first impulse, it was like late 90s, you know, when Gannett, they bought out a bunch of different properties. They got the NBC affiliate here back then. They got the Arizona Republic, and they're losing money, and they didn't care. If you guys want to get more loyalty and readership and subscription, you should do more like Truth, Justice, American Way or something. And no, because they didn't care about money. That was not the point. It's like General Electric having NBC. We have a network that's going to promote and war when we need it, and we'll make more money on the back end selling missiles or something. So to think that Disney, this is all about making money, No, it's about controlling general public opinion to do whatever the hell it is that they want to do. What do they want to do? I have no idea, but they got the mechanism by which they're getting you boxed in, man. It's all programming. So what Frank has done is he goes, here it comes, and they're doing it because you're such a movie buff and you're so interested in, you know, the lineage of the comic books. You could see what they were doing. And there's more people out there like Frank that are doing, they're big movie fans, and they're going, screw you, which is what caused Solo to tank, which is the Last Jedi to tank. For them, to, I don't know if they made any money, and maybe they didn't care. But I can see, I'm going, it seems that they really haven't got their fingers in the Marvel yet. Well, they were building up to this.
Yep. I know. It's going to be the biggest plot. And so we'll probably talk more when after the break here, but there is a resistance, and all of these people on YouTube, the so-called bad actors, Rotten Tomatoes call us bad actors. Of course, yeah, we're fans who pay money the tickets, but since we don't have the proper view, we're considered bad actors and trolls. Yeah. Okay, so that's what they came up with. So therefore, all of these different YouTube channels, I want to be clear, we're very professional and respectful regarding Star Wars, Ghostbusters, and what I mean is, as much as we despise what they're doing, no one ever, I want to be clear, none of these sites asked or demanded a boycott. None of them claimed a boycott. Now, liberals, you know, if they don't like your hangnail, they do a boycott on everything, right? But to show the conservative, libertarian, independent views, no boycotts. We never, none of them claimed one, ever. They said, look, if you want to see it, don't see it. But as of now, with Rotten Tomatoes, across the board, it's a universal boycott on this Captain Marvel and possibly Endgame as well, to send the, as much as it pains us, because we're the biggest geeks. So there's an actual
boycott.
Doesn't
pain me. I got a big screen and a good sound system, and you know, and I'll watch it 3 months later after it gets, and I might have to put up with Chinese subtitles or something. But screw them.
Well, I'll tell you what the resistance is doing is to give the ultimate FU to Disney over Captain Marvel, since we can't even say, we can't even put our opinion on Rotten Tomatoes now, is that no one's going to see it on opening, well, not going to see it at all, but especially for opening weekend, which is what all the numbers count on, and instead, everyone's going to go and watch Alita for a second time. And that is a movie with a powerful woman that Disney does not want you to watch.
But she fell in love with a boy.
Oh yeah.
You can't have a superhero woman that's dependent on an emotional relationship with a boy. You know, that just can't happen. I went and saw it. I thought it was cool. You know, and I thought it was cool. Crimes of the Crown by Captain Mark. The crown casts the world in shadow and claims to be our guiding light. Cowards clamor for security from boogeymen and ghost stories. While I say these hobgoblins are imaginary, I say those they propped up as our liberators are now subsisting on our bondage. I say there is freedom in the black, and that's exactly where we intend to go. The crown banishes its own officers for exposing its crimes and tortures dissidents to the brink of madness. It dominates the globe and swallows the wealth of generations, leaving only blood and excrement. The crown calls it piracy to explore frontiers beyond its grasp. So the time has come for us to define the conduct among pirates. I say the crown has trampled our necks long enough. Need decentralized solutions to centralized problems? Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels? Or just want some swag to let the crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com. We won't be hard to find.
Do you?
You know, I'm looking at this Tommy Robbins. Yeah, what's his name? Tommy Robinson. He released a documentary Monday, it looks like. And he's been indefinitely banned from Facebook and Instagram.
Yep.
Boom.
Bam.
Boom. Boom. Not allowed. And it shows them trying to get people to say bad. This is so out in the open now. I'm not. See, this is why everybody, you know, all right, everybody get ready. Take a shot, because Ernie said IPFS again. Because I am like, this interplanetary file, and this one thing Jay was talking about, he goes, the reason they called it interplanetary, they mean like Moon and Mars. This is going to be, files are always available and, you know, blockchained, and it's done ready for, you know, interplanetary foreverism. You know, this is it. You know, there is no curating of your off or banned, or it's all that crap is gone. Well, then they'll go, well, they could have like really bad stuff and, you know, catapult channel. And I'm going, yep. You know, you better take care of your children and not let them have the bite or do parental, whatever, the control of something. You know, do your freaking parent job and quit having the government do it, because they're just brainwashing them with all this crap through the comics. I mean, through the movies. You know, Tim and Rhea, it was Lil Kellen, their son, he's 4 years old. He and I, we went up North Mountain. We hiked it Monday. We went all the way to the top and down, and he was a trooper, 4 years old. So then he goes like this. He says, we'll go to the movie. We could do that, or we could do, well, I'm not allowed to see superhero movies anymore. And I go, why? And his sister, Elin, which is six, she goes, because he beats up everybody. You know, so he goes and he sees an action movie, and he's like, you know, jumping and pounding and doing and superhero stuff. So they go, nope, you can't control yourself. You go all freaking superhero. You're not gonna be able to see it. Well, this is the kind of influence this kind of stuff has on even little 4-year-old kids. And that's what they're doing. They're counting on when he's 24, 20 years from now, him and his kids, a totally different Marvel universe.
Well, in all fairness, jumping around after a superhero movie, all I know is my brother and I, when we're 5 and 6, we would watch Batman the TV show.
Pow!
Every time we fought with the pal, we would be running around with pillows.
So, pow! Yeah, bam!
You got to do that.
Kapow! I mean, yeah, no, they're just trying to use it as an incentive for him to freaking control himself.
Yeah.
He's 4 years old, and it's just the way it is. But the... we watched Dumb and Dumber, and I go, you know, that might have been a little advanced for them.
that was about the Clintons, right?
Yeah, right. Here we go.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
And we're right back. You know, there is so much evidence that, you know, I believed him. I knew, I seen it. You know, this kind of stuff happens. I get it, you know. But Frank was, you know, look, Ernie, you don't understand. They're going to, I get it. But man, when it came out and there was everybody else and it became a neon flashing obvious and it exposed this. Disney, Comcast, Fandango, tomato meter. I mean, they're all the same thing. Now, the other question I have for you is the distribution. This is why I was so supportive of, and still am, of Iron Sky and their mm-hmm. sequel, is because they bypassed the studio distribution of all their crap. Now, we remember, a lot of people don't know that Harkins Theaters is a private theater chain here. They had nice, you know, theaters. They had prime locations. They make some money. It's a Harkins Theater. They want to be in the mall, and malls want to have them. AMC, suck it. They got Harkins. Well, Harkins made their money. They had this one old theater downtown Phoenix called the Colonnade. No, it was Cine Capri down there, where now there's big, you know, gazillion-dollar, you know, buildings and so on. But they moved it up other places. It was big Coliseum seating. There was no aisle. It was like this big, giant theater, old-fashioned. It was cool. And he went and he purchased and got and was the sole viewing of the first Star Wars. And then The Empire Strikes Back. And then can you imagine being the only theater with Star Wars? Okay, so it was lines constantly for like months and months and months, and then the next one came months and months, and he goes to a movie, and they go, they just didn't understand it, they didn't get it, they didn't want, he goes, hell yeah, I'll take this, I want an exclusive Phoenix, put that bad boy on my theater, you know, and he made bank. That was the beginning of his fortune of whatever, in my opinion. So here you have people that will look and, you know, and support these kinds of things. Well, Iron Sky. They went outside, you know, the machine, and they just, you know, went straight to DVD and people, and I funded and did my 35. I'm getting the second movie, The Coming Race, you know, Iron Sky, Nazis on the Dark Side of the Moon stuff, and it's fun as hell, and the next one's coming out. So it'll be interesting, you know, when that comes. But what they did is they bypassed the system. Well, the system got more and more entrenched. So tell me about AMC. I go to AMC theaters. They make deals with these theaters and how much money they can charge and make, and it keeps going up, and Don and I go to the movies and it's $35. I'm like, holy crap. Well, I just wait, and you know, a few months, I'll just watch it on TV. So now tell me how integrated the distribution system is.
Well, it's completely it's changing before our eyes. Keep in mind that they know, obviously, that theaters are going the way of the dodo. Probably movie theaters are going to be sort of like going to the opera, where it is going to be expensive. Think about it. The movie theaters here in Arizona, they're all now assigned seating, right? They've put in fancy luxury recliners and seats, which means they have to cut down how many seats they can put in a theater, which doesn't matter to them because they don't have that many people showing up to theaters. They only show up for these giant tentpole movies, which cost so much money to make, and the market to cut through the chatter. Remember, before they only had a few movies a year per studio. Now you're competing with how many other studios, all these student independent films. You've got video games, you've got social media. I mean, no one's watching the same show. So fighting through everything to get your movie on the Super Bowl ad, which Captain Marvel was, think about the money for enough people to go and fill those seats up. So the economics is completely changing, and I give sympathy to the movie, the theater chains. But the problem is that they're making these more events, so people are not going to be regularly going there. Therefore, people are staying at home. So the future, of course, is streaming. Netflix jumped on that really quick. Hence the irony is that Blockbuster opens the Captain Marvel film and they're gone. But anyway, they're buying up for streaming. And I've talked about on your show how Disney is the behemoth. They try to buy Netflix. Netflix said, screw you. You know, we're going to do it ourselves. And Disney said, fine, we're going to take you out. And they decided to take all their properties. Because remember, Star Wars and Disney movies, Marvel movies, or Pixar, you can watch them on Netflix for now. That deal is about to be done. And when it's done later this year, Disney is opening their own streaming channel, which all of their Netflix shows they're bringing home with them. And they just bought a few months ago 20th Century Fox. So with the entire back catalog, Disney now owns the Alien franchise. Can you imagine Alien and Mickey Mouse? So they bought everything. This is a swallow up of everything to control the ratings. They also pretty much own all the movie reviewers, this entire thing, so that when this Disney Channel releases, they want to be top of that crown of the distribution of everything.
Okay, I want the That's audience. I got a graphic up here. It's kind of a bubble ownership thing. I don't know how, you know, dated this is, but Disney, it looks like they have ESPN.
Oh, yeah.
And then you got Hearst. Yeah. And I'm going, Hearst is part of that between, and then they own A&E also?
Yeah.
NBC? Is NBC now Disney?
No, ABC.
Well, it looks like they got some kind of a connection to NBC through A&E, kind of some weird crap. Then you got, all right, so Disney owns ABC, which is ABC Family, ABC News, ABC Daytime, ABC Entertainment.
The View. The View is all ABC. So when they jump on Donald Trump on The View, and they don't do anything about The View, right? But Roseanne Barr gets fired. This is why. It's a complete agenda. ESPN. Why did ESPN's ratings tank? It's because all of their sportscasters began talking about the crap against Donald Trump over the taking a knee stuff with the football games. And so they went all SJW, and their ratings went. And that's why that one that stock guy at the shareholder went off on Bob Iger during that meeting, because you know, ESPN was tanking and Disney and Star Wars is tanking. And he's like, you're destroying all these, you know, the profits are going down. And Iger just goes, I disagree with you. Everything's fine. Nothing to see here. Boom. So, I mean,
yeah, I'm looking at some graphics from 2005 and a lot of things. General Electric was over 50% of a whole bunch of stuff. And then and it seems like, you know, Disney was a pearl. and you know, in this, because they saw how the they get the Mouseketeers to go slut, and then they get the tweeny, and they move up, and you know, and Britney Spears and Miley Cyrus, and they're, you know, taking these young girls down the dark side of some freaking weird crap. And I'm just, there's something weird going on, and Disney has been done, and I hate the Disney Channel. It is just, I mean, it's the most brain dead crap. Nickelodeon, the same. Who owns Nickelodeon? Where's Nickelodeon? That's CBS, Viacom, Showtime. You know, then you got the, you know, Time
Warner. Ernie, I just want to make one point, because I know we're about to finish up. Is that I see all of this tightening between Tommy Robinson and 60 Minutes and the Panorama and the Marvel movie. I mean, everything's happening at it's happening now. 1 year before the 2020 elections. This is them sizing up how media is distributed, how opinions are being done, and they don't want a repeat of 2016, clearly.
Yep.
And they're going to make sure that this hammer is going to fall, guys.
We'll make sure!
By this year. We're here, and Ernie, everything you've been talking about has been correct, and this new file, this file sharing, and how this distribution thing that you're talking about, that needs to be up and going ASAP, because I'm seeing the news really quick.
You know, this is, you know, you weren't down, you know, Tim and I went and saw at an Arcapoco David Icke, you know, which was 4 hours. And it went by pretty quick. It seemed like 90 minutes. I mean, you know, just the guy was whizzing through. And it was interesting that one of his themes that he kept emphasizing was, if you know the destination, you see the journey. And now, you know, it kept having that slide frame on every different thing to make this point. If you know where they're going, you can see all the stuff that they're doing. Well, where are they going? The general public opinion I keep screaming about. I'm going, look, it's just to get you to think this way about that. They win. They don't even have to have a campaign. Doesn't matter who's in office. Doesn't matter what. Oh, of course we need to have universal basic rip you off. You know, of course we need to. Of course. Because they can. And how do they do it? Opinion media. And it's, if you know the destination, you see the journey. Well, we're seeing the journey. This is it. You know, like today, Facebook insider leaks docs, explains deboosting, blah, 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 this Project Veritas. Then we got, you know, we show that. Then we got Tommy Robinson, you know, has his video that's going viral, hashtag Panodrama. Panodrama there, and they, what do? Facebook and Instagram, they ban him. Then you got this SJW and a movie thing that's going on right before our very eyes. And man, was Frank on this, called it, said, Ernie, here she is. Boom. All right. So what's the deal? At least opening weekend, we don't take the kids to go see Captain Marvel, at least.
See Alita. I take everyone to see Alita. It's a great movie. James Cameron, no SJW, anything. It's a spectacle like we grew up with in the 90s and the 80s. It's great.
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, it kind of gave me a little denouement at the end there, because it's obviously going to be a sequel. You know,
yeah, I know.
I was like, oh, you sons of man. But it'll probably be a pretty cool sequel, you know. So I'm going, it was a fun movie. It shows you where they're going with CGI and so on. And
with
I like the characters.
Yeah, female.
Yeah, a strong female. That was another thing. You made her a female. Well, her brain was female. I, you know, whatever.
Is spreading the message of.
Yep. So what's this? Yeah, I know, because it's on Skype, and how do I do that? It's coming over mirror image on my Skype settings or something. I'm like, yeah, whatever, they'll get over it here until I can fix this. Let's see, there's some settings. All right, settings there. Float audio in the web. Microphone, speakers, income ring, additional webcam settings. I hate doing these buttons, you know. Okay, is there... Pan, tilt, zoom, expose, zoom, cooperative, default. Yeah, well, if somebody figures it out, let me know. Because I know it's backwards on the Skype, not the Zoom thing, but I, you know, I ain't doing it in the middle of the show. That's just the way it is. Okay, so what do you think's next, Frank? And when can you get your ass in here? I mean, oh, our mutual friend, Gary Matera. What do you think of doing a show with him? That'd be. His bitch is? Let me tell you what happened.
Wait, have you talked to him recently?
I've been emailing back and forth. This is what happened. He goes, he's on KTAR for the audience. You know, Derry Matera is a best-selling author. I used to have him on my show, you know, like every Wednesday back in the day when I was on, you know, various stations. He was a columnist for the Arizona Republic. His wife is a professor of ethics at Journalism School of ASU something. And he would write, but the guy has got, I mean, he's a hound dog, man. That boy is like partying all the time something. Well, what happened was I come to find out that they used to hang out in the same crowd. Dr. Frank and Derry Matera are good friends. But then, you know, you have, like, people get divorced over here and you pick friends and stuff happen and split and kind of and it's done and I don't care. But what happened was Derry was writing a lot of comment. His impact on the Valley here was on the comments section of KTAR. KTAR is Howdy Neighbor Radio. It's a popular station here that covers a lot of the sports teams, and they're owned by a Mormon family that just wants to be, you know, part of the community and Howdy Neighbor and institutional. We love, you know, anybody that owns a sports team or something. So Jim Sharp, a good friend of mine, a libertarian, morning talk show host, he's over there. So I thought he loves it. He says they're really nice to him, and it's all cool and great, and I would never be invited. So he'll come on. We need to get Jim Sharp to come on, Don. We'll do a podcast thing. That'd be awesome. Well, what happened was Derry writes an email to Mark Victor, wanting an attorney to go after KTAR because they are deleting his comments or shadow banning or stopping comments or whatever. I can't believe that. And he's going, man, it's their thing. You don't have any, you know, there's no criminal action here or anything or civil whatever. It's an Ernie thing. Hey, Ernie, you know, your libertarian shackles should be up in the hair and back because they're denying me my free speech on KTAR comments. Okay. So I'm going, well, get your ass on, man. Let's do it. All right. So it's just him. He's being denied his voice on KTAR's comments section. It just pisses him off. And of course he is, because they're like, you know, damn it. You're like, you know, having an impact and saying, you know, how dare he is. He's just, you know, going to go be all kinds of stupid, you know. But let's see if I can find this here. Blah, 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 blah. He's like, do you have a relationship with KTAR that would be a conflict of interest in pursuing something like this? Now, this was to Mark. Also, keep in mind, I'm not just some schlub on the internet. Best-selling author who wrote the Arizona political scandal book, What's in It for Me? Blotting out my voice would be Fox, you know, news. Hannity and Tucker Carlson would seem to be right up your alley. You know, and then he's going to KTAR has put a secret blanket block on comments on their news page under their stories on some of those expressing libertarian or Republican views. At least they have with me, meaning I can see my comments, but nobody else can. I was given no warning or explanation, even when I contacted them about it repeatedly. Very sneaky, since they assume I believe my comments are going through and that I don't realize they are being blocked for everyone else. This started before the election in November, blotting out those who favored Martha McSally over Sinema. It has continued as part of the ongoing national trend of socialist Democrats in the media trying to blot out opposing viewpoints. Fox News has been all over this. I can still post on KTAR's AZ Sports page and everyone sees my comments there, but I'm a ghost on their news page, very sleazy. Okay? So he's just pissed off they cut his damn it.
Of course.
You feel me? I mean,
I know.
But this goes right in with all this other stuff.
Yeah. It's like, you know, they say, like, with a python, they squeeze a bit and they release and they squeeze a little bit more and they release.
Exhale,
and you have a siege. It happens really quick. And that's what we're all watching with the economy. You know, people say when it happens, you won't have time to go get your money from the ATM. So when it happens, it'll be quick. And that's what they're all setting up, guys. It's been another contraction in the last week or so from all angles. And I can feel it. I'm sure you can too, clearly. And they are prepping. They know the deadline's coming, which is leading up to this election. And everything's going to be shut down. We're all going to be called trolls.
Yeah.
Everything that they disagree is going to be called hate speech. And once they label it hate speech, then they are...
And then we have the solution. Was I too early? Man, I got the timing. I'm like, Neon, I freaking told you so. All right. I got to get to my next guest. Thanks, Frank. Right. You need to get your ass in here. Let's do a long, no commercial kick ass.
All right.
Donna's going to bug the shit out of you, and you never respond to her on anything. So just
Yes, I do.
No, I love send
her.
Him a text.
All right.
Send him an email. See if he responds on the schedule. Do it right now before I go to Maine. I want, you know, him, you know, butthead. I know. All right. Talk to you later, man.
Later, buddy. Bye.